This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 21st, episode 1744. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World, it's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
So let the good times roll.
Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Well, good morning, everybody. We're glad you're here with us on this Friday. I'm really happy it's Friday, by the way. Jamie, we promised you Jamie was going to be here today, but she texted me last night. You know, one of the problems of getting free flights when your husband's a pilot is you're on standby, so you take whatever flight they give you. And they gave her a flight that was landing about an hour from now in Phoenix. They were flying overnight, and so she's on the airplane right now, and that makes it really hard to do a show. So Lisa kindly at the last minute agreed to fill in again. Thank you so much for that, Lisa.
Oh, you are so welcome. It's always fun to be here.
I'm sure she'll be back on Monday, providing she actually got on that flight and hasn't extended her stay in Hawaii for another weekend. You know what? I'm in Hawaii. I might be extending for another weekend too.
Oh, I've seen the photos. It looks fabulous.
Yes,
she had a great time.
So we are here, and you know what? If Jamie's decided she doesn't want to work ever again, we're just gonna make up for that and continue working here. I got to ask you. All right. So the Idaho Department of Fish and Game said all camping along Forest Road 146 and 452 in the Sawtooth National Forest. Have you ever been there? I've never been.
I have not, but I have seen pictures, and it's phenomenal. I have a best friend from high school who lives kind of near there. Yeah.
Well, everybody knows that Jennifer and I don't like to camp a lot, especially in tents. Now, we're doing an RV tour of Texas, but we rented a nice RV, you know, bathrooms,
yes. Big
showers.
Difference.
Yeah, big difference. Yeah. So, you know, stove, indoors, lack of bugs, you know, stuff like that.
Exactly.
Well, apparently this place, the Murdoch and Caribou campgrounds, are very, you know, busy this time of year with people camping in tents and things. There are still people who like to camp in tents. And, officials reported spotting a bear on Wednesday about 12:30 a.m. and chased it away from their site. Well, you know, that's not uncommon. You say, why am I even bringing this story up? Is because when they woke up the next morning, the woman woke up and looked down, thought she felt something on her foot, and basically her foot was in the bear's mouth.
Holy cow.
Literally, her foot was in the bear's mouth. Now, he had not chomped down yet at that point, and apparently she went berserk and scared the bear half to death, and he took off. Her foot was in a sleeping bag, and apparently nobody was hurt, although the Fish and Game conservation officer said the sleeping bag was not damaged, but it was wet with saliva.
So what would you
do if you woke up and your foot is in a bear's mouth?
You know, I think I would be so frightened. I don't even think I could make a sound. I don't even think I could shout to make the bear go away. I would just be paralyzed.
Well, and I'd be afraid shouted. My immediate thought is if I shout, he's going to clamp down. You know, it's like he's going to bite.
Well, you'd be a step ahead of me because I don't think I'd even have a thought.
That's true. It's true. I don't know what you do. I don't know what the proper protocol is for when a bear has got his mouth on you.
Oh, I know. I just don't like bears. Wow.
I don't know. I don't know, but that's why they've closed. They figure if he's that aggressive, he'll probably be back for more. So,
probably will be, yeah. But maybe it's a she.
Well, it could be. With a foot fetish, apparently.
I guess so. Yeah, she needs to be like go to podiatry school or something. Yeah.
They're trying to catch this particular bear. I guess, you know, the ones that don't show any problem with humans are the ones that they really have to deal with.
Right, right, yeah. And I think that's good that the place is closed because, you know, I just wouldn't want to be around. Dude, I'm so paralyzed just even thinking about it. I can't even talk.
Another reason not to go camping. And like Jennifer and I need it anymore. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday Edition. It's time to ride, as in the American Horse Council Time to Ride Challenge. And Christy Schulte, as she does every year, is going to stop by and tell us about this annual event designed to encourage folks to try equestrianism in all its forms. And then mid-show, we are going to hear from Irish eventer Jonty Evans on his efforts to keep his Olympic mount in his barn. And just before the credits roll, it's really bad ads time. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, you know, I've gotten many messages and on the situation with the Congressional Committee and the Mustangs and the euthanization and the whole slaughter issue and all of that. So and you're asking why we haven't addressed it. Well, one, that was Jamie's decision not to address it because she thought she would just go off the deep end. So, but, you know, there's been a development now, so we're going to talk about it here for about a minute, and then we're going to move on. You all know how we feel about this topic. Regular listeners certainly know. We've discussed this over the past 7 years now, and the problem that I have with it is everybody has their feelings on the slaughter issue, pro or against or in the middle. Right. And nobody's going to change your mind. It's kind of the Republican and Democrat issue, thing in the horse world. And, you know, I'm not saying Democrats and Republicans all feel the same way. It's just that divisive thing. And it's not what our show's about. Our show is about fun. Our show is a place where you come to start your morning off, or if you listen in the afternoon, it's just a place to have a little fun, maybe learn a little bit, but most of all, have some chuckles along the way. So it's not really what our show is about. There's other shows that are more serious that deal with this. Now, what happened is a congressional committee Tuesday authorized the humane euthanization, and again, some call it extermination, of what many acknowledge is a large and unsustainable population of wild horses and burros. So they apparently had a debate, and they decided that, you know, there's 40,000 of these horses in holding pens, and that's not really a way to live a life either.
No.
And they needed to do something, and I'm not sure whether you agree or not with what they're doing is up to you. We're not here to discuss that. But, you know, this is what they have decided is that, what was the line they used, Christy? The horses that are unadoptable.
The horses that are unadoptable, are the ones that are going to be euthanized. And Glenn, you and I were talking about this just a little bit before the show, and I think you said it really well, that there are so many sides to this debate and this issue, and none of them are really good. There's no real good solution here that's been proposed, and you know, they had to do something, and this is what they ended up doing, and I'm sure there are tons of Facebook pages and chat rooms where, you know, listeners and auditors can go and debate this if they want to do this, but you know, we're a little light on that here. So
right, very well said. All right, so that's, we're going to move on from that to our daily whinnies. Well, that happy birthday is to my mother-in-law, Pat. It's her birthday today, and I know she'll probably be listening. She listens in, so happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Pat.
Jennifer, you better say something.
Happy birthday!
I had to get that in.
Okay. So my daily whinny is actually a day early because tomorrow is National Day of the Cowboy and Cowgirl, I'm assuming. So to all the cowboys and cowgirls out there, a shout out for all that you do and just congratulations for you being you.
Very good. Cool. Now, I also wanted to mention a couple housekeeping things here before we get to our first guest. We're going to start. We have a couple of great guests. I can't wait for you all to meet Olympian Jonty Evans later in the show. He's an Irish Olympian, and he is one of the nicest guys. He's one of the nicest Irish guys and one of the nicest guys in eventing I've ever met.
And don't you just love the Irish accent?
Oh, you're going to love his. And his is actually understandable. We've had some Irish guests on, and I'm going, I have no idea what you just said, but that's okay. It sounded good. But no, his is understandable, and he's such a nice guy. So we're very excited to have him on. He has a story and a bit of a situation that's come up that we're hoping to help him with. But Stable Scoop, I mentioned it on Wednesday's show. Helena's last week on Stable Scoop is next week. After 9 years, Helena was my first co-host on the first show, Stable Scoop. We started August 1st of 2008. So it really has been 9 years. We're going into our 10th year. And she got a really good job in the boat world and will be moving all of her energies to the boat side of things. And she also does a podcast called That Newport Show about Newport, Rhode Island. And also does a podcast called Around the Buoy, that thing that floats in the ocean. And it's about boats and sailing. And so it's appropriate now that her job is going to match her podcasts. But there was no way she could do a full-time job, 50 hours a week, have a kid that's in school doing 1,000 activities, have two other podcasts, and still do Stable Scoop. So we had a long talk about it and decided that it probably be best for her to bail at this point. So she's gonna leave us, although, you know, we have 470 episodes that will remain forever. So, and if you want to hear, you can always go over and listen to one of her other shows. I know a lot of our listeners do. The reason I'm bringing this up is we're doing a special final episode next week. It's just going to be her and I talking about our past, listening to some clips from past shows. And also, we've been getting a lot of messages in from listeners and sponsors and things like that who have been sending voicemails in for us to play on the show. If you would like to express your appreciation or maybe share one of your favorite memories of the Stable Scoop show from the past, we would love you to call in. The phone number is 859-474-0261, 859-474-0261, or you can record it on your phone, on your memo, or your voice recorder, and just email it to glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll play them all on the show for her next week. You know, show your love. Without her, we wouldn't be here today. None of us would be. There wouldn't be 14 shows on the network. There wouldn't be a network. So I hope that you all can, you know, say kind words. I need these today by the end of Friday. So please get them over to me. I'm going to put them together over the weekend. Also,
what a great thing to do.
Yeah, you know, she deserves it. I mean,
she does.
You know, she's put up with me for 9 years every week, which is something that not too many people can say. And Jennifer wishes sometimes she didn't have to. So, you know, show your love. Send those messages in today. We'll play as many as we get. If the show runs 2 hours, that's fine.
Yeah.
We'll do that. Now, on that note, beginning in August, Stable Scoop will still be here. We're changing the direction of it entirely. It's going to be a whole new show. But it's going to take us about a month to get that together. So we thought we'd do something fun in August, and we'd do what we're calling Equestrians Got Talent. We're going to try and come up with a more clever name than that. But basically,
I like that. It says it all.
It does say it all, though, right?
It does. It's perfect. Yep.
And I doubt I'm going to get sued by that other talent place. So you know, it's far enough from America's Got Talent, I probably won't get sued. So Equestrians Got Talent, we want you to submit your songs. We know a lot of you have talent. You've given it away at Radiothon. We get, 100 voicemails at Radiothon, and they're all terrific. Singers and people who play instruments and people who do poetry and all kinds of stuff. So we're going to be asking for your submissions starting next week for Equestrians Got Talent. We're going to play a certain number of them on each Stable Scoop show in the month of August, and then we're going to have you, our listeners, vote on the winners each week. We're going to bring those four winners back in the finals, and then we're going to have an America's Got Talent finals. So and then we'll have a panel. We're going to have a select panel of judges on that show.
Ooh.
So that should be a lot of fun. And I just think it's, it could be a riot. It could be just something light and lively to do in the month of August. It could become an annual thing. We're going to have some prizes or a trophy or something. I haven't worked all that out yet. So there'll definitely be something. And it's just, you know, you're going to have the rights to say you won Equestrian's Got Talent.
Yes.
So you'll have that right as well. By the way, this is Gong Show meets America's Got Talent. So if you got no talent and you want to submit something anyway, please do. We would love to have you. Definitely do that. You know, if you've got no talent, please do submit anyway.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be just a ton of fun.
You know, some people are coming up with ideas of like reading the phone book at a gallop.
Yes,
I suggested reading the phone book upside down in a trough of water.
Oh no, that would be fun.
Yeah, you'd only do it once.
That's true, because the phone book
would turn pretty
soggy.
That's the problem with that one. Yeah. Then you can do another recording in the hospital. So, you know, keep it safe. Don't go out and injure yourself. But we want clever, fun, think outside the box kind of entries. So if you can't sing like me and you really have no other talent like me, you know, come up with something. It has to be audio, though. It really won't work otherwise. So
what you're saying is you get points on creativity.
Yes. Well, this is going to be voted on by the listeners. So if it's funny, it's probably going to get more votes, right? If you're awful, you're probably going to get more votes. Right?
True.
So listen to Jamie sing on this show every day. It's a nightmare, but she still does it, and we still listen. So,
yes.
Yeah. So don't worry about that. You know, we'll definitely accommodate everybody on the show. And what? It could become an annual thing, and if it does, that'll be terrific, too.
Oh, absolutely.
We're, as I said, with Stable Scoop, we're taking it a whole new direction. And we're gonna have some announcements about that over the next week or two. So I think you're going to like that as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad you're keeping the show, because it's kind of like your flagship
initial
show. It is
the flagship show. It was the first one. There's no way in hell that Stable Scoop's going away. So
yeah,
it'll always be around. And but you know what? It's not going to be an interview show. I will say that. We do a lot of those, including this one. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 14 interview shows on the network now, and we want to take it. I need a new challenge. I need to be doing something new with it. I've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
6,300 episodes. And so this is going to be a challenge for me, too. This is going to be new for me, and it's going to be new for the audience. And it's not something that's not been done before in the horse world and podcasting. So, look for it. Going to be fun.
That'll be awesome.
All right. Our first guest is ready.
Yeah, so we've got Christy Schulte from A Time to Ride, and this is a great challenge. It connects newcomers to horses, and if you host an event that introduces horses to people or people to horses, you can win up to thousands of dollars in cash and plus all kinds of other really cool prizes. And so stables and organizations and veterinarians and all kinds of horse businesses are welcome to participate. This started back on May 1st, but it runs through September 30th of this year, so there's still plenty of time to enter and compete. And I'm very familiar with this this competition and what they're trying to do. So, Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Oh, yeah. No, this is great. And now, I don't know if I have met you, but I've seen other maybe representatives from A Time to Ride at like the CHA conferences and some of the other horse events that I do. So I know that you've been going out and getting the word out. This is not the first year you've done this. Tell everybody, if they're not familiar with it, tell everybody exactly what A Time to Ride is.
Absolutely. Well, like you said, this is the fourth year of our challenge, and that's our largest program, but it's just one thing that Time to Ride does. And overall, we are an initiative that's working to grow participation in horse activities, riding, spectator events, just being around horses across all parts of the industry. And so what we're trying to do is specifically reach out to brand new people that are new to horses, have either never ridden, never been around horses, or maybe used to do that years ago and are getting back into it. And the goal really is to make it easier for them to be around horses, have horses in their lives, and become regular participants in our industry. So the challenge is our largest program, but we also have other things that we offer for them, a map and interactive website for them to find locations across the country, other marketing support and outreach for horse professionals to reach these people and all kinds of fun stuff like that.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the events that like a riding instructor or a stable could hold to kind of promote this whole concept.
Sure. That's probably one of my favorite things about the challenge is hearing the different stuff that they come up with every year. It can be anything from as simple as a regular old open house at your stable to meet the horses, take a tour and that kind of stuff, all the way up to cool things like we have a farm that's been doing Meet the Unicorn events. You know, these unicorns are all over the place this year. And so she's
yes.
got a gray, a, yeah, she's got a gray
mare. She has a unicorn?
She puts like a, yeah, no, I'm sorry. She doesn't have a gray mare. She has a unicorn that she takes around to different events
in her
community.
Thought I'd clarify that.
And yeah, I wouldn't want anyone to think it was just a Connemara pony, but
right. Right.
And she's really creative about where she goes and takes her. And that's honestly the biggest key to success that we've seen is when these stables get really creative about finding groups to basically invite them out and do the hard work for them and say, hey, we're right here. We have all this cool stuff for you to try. And they make it easy for families, Girl Scout troops, school groups, that kind of stuff to get to their place or they go to the location of that group and bring the horses out there. So I think the unicorn, Meet a Unicorn has been a really fun one. And then we actually have an event coming up this Saturday, tomorrow, the 22nd is National Meet a Horse Day. And that has seen a lot of really cool events that the hosts are getting really creative about. So we've got several dozen of those events going on across the country. And they've really just gotten in the spirit of remembering, you know, what is it like for somebody the first time they meet a horse or the first few times and they're just trying to get comfortable and be safe and have fun. So they're really creative with it, which is a lot of fun for us to see.
You know, one of the things I really like about this is you know, there are so many people who really have never never touched a horse or never met a horse. And this is a great way for them to, you know, kind of see if they have the horse bug or not. And it's also a really great way, I think, for equine professionals, you know, riding instructors or trainers to get new people into their barn. You know, maybe somebody really has that horse bug and they say, hey, I want to learn more. I want to take some riding lessons or even path centers. I'm really involved with therapeutic riding, you know, to get volunteers into the barn. I think it's just a win-win all the way around.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned the path centers because we do have several therapeutic riding centers, or a lot of times it's a barn that has kind of a combo lesson uh-huh. program and therapeutic riding. We have rescues involved. We have all kinds of, you know, they can be for-profit or nonprofit. We're really open about what kinds of organizations can take part in the challenge. Because like you said, it's all about just introducing new people in whatever way they're comfortable. And some people are more interested maybe in volunteering at first rather than just jumping in and trying to ride five times a week. And what I think has been another key to success in the challenge is that we can offer different kinds of marketing support to these horse professionals. And the horse professionals are really great at whatever their area is. And they love, you know, the people we talk to, they love teaching lessons. They love doing summer camps. They have mm-hmm. outstanding programs. They're amazing horsemen and women. But at the end of the day, they don't necessarily want to spend hours marketing themselves. And so what right. we try to do is provide some really simple tools that allow them to do that effectively and in their community and show them it doesn't have to be 50% of your time. If you just spend a couple hours each week, you know, send a little press release to your local newspaper about your Meet a Unicorn event, you can bet that they're going to pick it up. And
sure.
a little bit of that goes a long way. And so we try to kind of help them do those kinds of things that are minimal effort for maximum payoff to get the word out about their business and make sure
yeah.
that they've got those new people coming in to grow their own businesses.
Oh, absolutely. Now, how do they, like if I was a stable owner, how do I compete? I mean, how do I sign up for all of that and learn more about that?
Sure. It's all based on our website, which is timetoride.com. And the challenge, like you mentioned, it began May 1st, but it does run through September, and it's open. You can sign up at any time. So if someone is just getting started now, and we actually did yesterday, we had two new hosts sign up. So there are still people coming in and hearing about it. It's not too late. Everything is on our website, and it's all based around events. So when somebody signs up, they'll read the rules and understand what it takes to be a part of it. It's free to sign up, no cost at any time. And then they can start planning events, and everything is based around events. And so part of the benefit of that is the events go on our map, and then families and people in the public can search the map and find those things that are happening near them in their area. And then after people come to those events, they'll record who attended, let us know who was and how many, and that's how we keep track of the standings for prizes at the end.
You know,
oh, got it.
I think that when you talk about minis, I got to give mini owners, we have a lot of mini owners that listen to this show, and I got to give mini owners some kudos here. For some reason, when people bring minis out to meet the public, the press is all over that because they're so darn cute, right?
Yes.
And I think minis actually have been the biggest outreach. And now, of course, they're being used for therapy and they're bringing them into hospitals and all of that. So that helps too. But I think minis have been the best representatives and have been the best at just getting people exposed that wouldn't normally be exposed. And they're so darn cute, you can't resist them. So that doesn't hurt either.
That you're 100% correct. They're easy to take places, and people are not as intimidated of them. If maybe, you know, it's really your first time ever meeting a horse, yeah, I'd probably rather pet one that's the size of a big dog than one that's towering over me. People have a huge success with minis. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and we have a lot of mini owners. So kudos to all of you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So
take them around, meet your neighbors.
Yes. Yes. And this, you know, again, I just think this is just so great because I mean, there are so many people that I meet that have never been around a horse, and, you know, they want to do it, but maybe that it's not really safe for them to go over to their neighbor's house. And this way, it's a safe way for people to meet a horse and interact and, you know, get to know a little bit more about the whole industry and about riding. And I mean, just kudos to you guys for coming up with this awesome idea. Now, if somebody wants to learn more, where do they go?
We're all at timetoride.com. We're on Facebook at Time to Ride Horse. We're also on Instagram. And we also have a brand new sweepstakes that's starting. It's also starting on Saturday. That's kicking off with National Meet a Horse Day. So for all of the horse lovers and riders and equestrians that aren't professionals out there, we have something for you too. It's called our Pledge to Take a Friend Riding, and that is basically just what it sounds like. If you, as a, you know, regular old horse person, will introduce one of your non-horsey friends to riding, you can win a horse lovers trip to Lexington, Kentucky, and get to go see all the cool stuff there. Go to the horse park, go to Keeneland, and actually ride in a clinic with Dan James next year. So,
oh, how cool.
If you're out there listening and you're not a horse pro, yeah, take the pledge, sign up for the pledge. All you have to do is pledge to take a friend riding.
Girl
and that's
in America
also on
just
our website
signed
at timetoride.com.
Yes, everybody wants to ride with
Dan. I think I heard the squeals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, Christy, thank you so much for sharing all of this great news with us. And timetoride.com, go to the website, check it out, and get involved, because it's a great way to grow your business. It's a great way to share horses with your friends in a safe way. And best of luck to you, Christy, and good luck with this really great initiative.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me, and you guys have a great weekend.
All right, Christy.
Thank you. You too.
Well, we're going to take a break right now for Kentucky Performance Products. When we come back from that, Samantha and I last night, Samantha Clark from the WEG show, from the 2018 WEG show, we caught up with Irish Olympian Jonty Evans, and we're going to play this on both shows, on the WEG show and this show, because we want to help support him any way we can. He is super nice. He is one of the nicest guys you're ever going to hear, and I think that you're going to be touched by his story as well. And then we're going to come back. Jennifer's going to tell her story of her horse's adventures with some brand new sneakers. And these are not your every ordinary sneakers. And trust me, they're not cheap either. But they're not your ordinary sneakers. And she's going to tell us how all of it works. There's some special new glue-ons and why Nigel needed some special new glue-ons. And, a lot of people have not had experience with these. And she got to watch the whole two-hour process. So we're going to talk about that. And then really bad ads coming up today as well. And
cool.
Boy, the listeners came out. We have a lot of listener read really bad ads today. As a matter of fact, we're just going to
awesome.
Play them and go home. We'll be right back. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Managing horses can be challenging. Each horse's personality affects the way he behaves and reacts to the world around him. Horses with certain dispositions can be at higher risk for developing health problems than others. High-strung or excitable horses are easily stressed, but so is the timid, quiet warrior. Stressed horses are more likely to develop digestive upsets that lead to colic, diarrhea, and ulcers. Nalox Advanced was specifically developed to support a digestive tract that is under stress. It sustains proper pH levels, reducing the incidence of ulcers and hindgut imbalances, while simultaneously supporting the healing of damaged tissues. Nalox Advanced supports the complete digestion of starches and sugars and sustains populations of beneficial bacteria. Make life a little easier on your sensitive horse and start him on Nalox Advanced today. To learn more about the ingredients in Nalox Advanced, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
I'm absolutely thrilled to introduce our next guest. John T. Evans is an Irish event rider, and nothing would give us more pleasure than to see him at the World Equestrian Games next year. And he should be a sure thing if we can keep him together with his horse. And that's sort of why we have him here as our guest. And I'd like to just go straight to John T. And have him tell us about your horse, John T., and why we've got you on.
Hello everybody, and hello Samantha, thank you very much for having me. A little bit about my horse. Well, he's called Cooley Rourke's Drift, and he is an 11-year-old Irish sport horse. His friends call him Art, and he is by a horse called Courage, and he's out of an Irish bred mare with a slightly unpronounceable name. I've ridden him since he was a 5-year-old, and it's a really interesting story actually about how I met him. His owners, who bought him from the sale in Ireland when it was a combined sale between the Monart Equestrian Centre and the Going for Gold team, they were driving the horse in the UK down the road, and their horse box broke down. And I didn't really know them, but I stopped to help. So I stopped to help, and they'd had a blowout. And so I put the horse on my lorry, took him home, and they got their lorry mended and came back the next day and picked him up. And that's how I met them. And so sort of 5 or 6 years now, nearly later, and we've been on a long journey together, and so far culminated in the Rio Olympic Games last year, where together we finished 9th of 65, and one of only 3 to jump triple clear. And then we went to badminton this spring, and had an annoying little glitch on the cross country, which was absolutely my fault. And no way can it be blamed on him. But we had gone into third after the dressage, and he jumped his nearly traditional clear round show jumping. And he had gone and done a beautiful cross country round. So the little glitch we have to try and forgive the rider for, and that's kind of the story of him, really.
I know, I'm just getting absolute goosebumps listening to you. I mean, if ever there was like a fairy tale story of, you know, the Good Samaritan and a partnership that was meant to be, this sounds like it. Tell us a little bit. I mean, did you know when you met him that day in the lorry when you took him home? Did you have a feeling?
Yeah.
Was it love at first sight? He was quite, I'm sure a lot of your listeners have had Irish sport horses, and I'm sure got Irish sport horses, and I'm sure a lot of them would recognize the slightly bossy trait where they'll sort of stick their nose in your space a little bit. And that was what was immediately evident And even when he stayed in our stables that night and he'd never been to our yard, he was totally confident, totally happy, didn't mind where he was. And that is without doubt the underlying trait with the horse. He isn't cocky as such, but he has such belief in himself. And I think I'm lucky in that he came to me later in my career. I'm 45 this year, and I'm glad he did, really. I'm glad I didn't get him as when I was 22 or something, because I wouldn't have had the experience. And I've put a lifetime's experience into training him. He completely trusts me, and I absolutely trust him. You know, you go into the start box at Rio, we didn't really know how it was. Well, we did know actually by then how it was riding. I was third to go in the team and it was causing chaos. And then again into the start box at Badminton when it was a very big track this year. And, you know, you put your faith in these horses and he absolutely pays me back every single time. He never lets me down, ever.
Also, you're being very modest. What's not typical for, you know, the Irish, maybe? I mean, I don't want to be rude, but he's incredibly good at dressage. And is that something you've had to work on, or does that come naturally to him or to you?
I'm tall with long legs, so maybe that helps. I don't know, but I wouldn't know
because I'm not.
It certainly, when I first met him, he had a very good walk, a very good canter, and a super jump. What he lacked was a trot, and although he had a very regular trot, and one of the things I've learnt from him really primarily is that, you know, don't necessarily go and buy the big flash trot, because if you buy the walk and the canter and the jump, which really are the three things that are very hard to change, you can train the trot into them. And he has one of the things I love so much about him. I have a, I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but I will work and work and work at something. So I will never give up. I will work as hard as I can. And what I love about him is he's come out every day and he's put his heart and soul into training. And he's become very, very good at the dressage. And his test at Badminton this year, both my private trainer and my team trainer have been telling me that I can go sub 40. And at Rio, we scored 41. And, you know, that was amazing. And being ninth after dressage and scoring 41. And that was great. And that was a huge personal best at a 4-star. And then to go to Badminton this year, where we live quite locally to Badminton. And so effectively the place was full of our friends. And it's, I'm sure many of your listeners have had to compete in front of a lot of people they know, but, you know, to go into the main arena at Badminton with that kind of pressure, I could start welling up now thinking about it. He scored 37 and, you know, he was ahead of Mickey Young, ahead of Andrew Nicholson, you know, only Ingrid Klimke and Christopher Burton beat him. And I think that is thanks to his heart and soul.
Well, you know, one of the questions, we've been doing this 10 years now and interviewed thousands of riders. And one of the questions we always ask is, have you had the horse, your lifetime horse? And everybody knows that has had horses what a lifetime horse is. Is he your lifetime horse?
Oh, that just off the scale.
I think that would be the answer.
You know, yeah. And it's primarily, Glenn, it's primarily to do with his brain. He trotted into the main arena at Badminton, and I wouldn't say it was a fault, but one of his little traits is that he can be quite spooky. And the fitter and fresher he gets, he just will, you know, I'll be working in my arena at home and, you know, something he's trotted past for the last 6 years, and of course he has to have a little jump at it and things like that, you know, and you drives you bonkers. But he went into the main arena at badminton, and there was a little camera not far from the arena, and he did quite a spook at it, and I thought, oh no. He's in that mood. And as I turned across the long side of the arena, still outside of the arena, he turned and he faced the crowd. And it was like he said, "Ah, oh, there you are. I've been wondering where you lot have got to." And he loves the crowd. And from then, focus was complete. And he just, you know, he didn't put a foot wrong.
And I think it's so, you know, I think what's been so wonderful to watch you both is, you know, you've not been shy about showing your emotions. Like you said now, you could just well up, and we've seen you cry when you come out the arena, and he's, you know, your family too. What's he like at home? Is he a real family horse? Do the kids get to go in the stable with him?
You know, I know we haven't particularly talked yet about the situation, but this is what is so wrenching at the moment, is that my wife works so hard, and my head girl and the other girls that work for us, we knew he was special right from day one. As when he was a six-year-old, I'm good friends with Andrew Nicholson. I used to work for him. And I said to Andrew, when he was a six-year-old, I said, "This is the one." And Andrew laughed at me and he said, "You don't know that yet." And I said, "It is." And anyway, now he does agree with me. He doesn't laugh anymore. He's so much part of our family, and he's so gentle in the stable, and the children go in with him. And the other day, a friend of mine was here, and his little girl had come for a riding lesson with me in the arena. And, you know, then he and she and her sister, you know, they were, I think they're 12 and 8, something like that. You know, they're in the stable giving him treats, and he's a delightful horse to have around.
So we are going to talk about the situation, and, you know, we are going to talk about, you said he loves the crowds and how we might become the people's horse. And it sort of reminded me of Allegro, but we could imagine him becoming sort of that kind of a superstar.
I'd love to think so. We've talked about
no pressure there with Allegro.
We've talked about the horse and how we've tried to, you know, we've tried to leave nothing no stone unturned in his training. And we've always tried to run him and compete him with an eye on the future, and not necessarily, you know, trying to win that one day event and that slightly smaller prize. And I feel now that he's absolutely ready. He showed that at badminton, and possibly the pair of us lacked a fraction of mileage when I made my mistake on the cross country course, and maybe lacked a fraction of belief that we could be in the top few of you know, the biggest four star. And unfortunately now the kind of success that maybe he's had has resulted in financial interest. So offers have been made. And essentially I'm trying to raise the funds to buy him.
So he was never yours? He had a different owner?
Yeah, he's always been owned by the same lady, a lady called Fiona Elliott, who bought him from the sale in Ireland. And she rode him in the beginning of his fifth year, and he came to me at the end of his fifth year. And he's always been owned by Fiona, and Fiona's been a huge help. She's been part of our team as such that has produced him. We've all worked together. And unfortunately, you know, she has two children and a family, and the offers that have been made for him are significant. And I can't criticize her in any way for having to consider them. It's, you know, money is the villain, as opposed to, you know, any one person's decision.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because
Very.
There always is emotion, but there always is finances on both sides.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Everyday reality, you know, and you have to think, you know, she's got two children. She's got to think of their future. And, you know, I totally and utterly understand it. It doesn't make it any easier, but I totally understand it. So we've been running a crowdfunding campaign to try to, as Samantha alluded to, it was a kind of, I'll be honest, it was kind of a last ditch attempt. But it's gained so much momentum, and the prospect of making art the people's horse, in inverted commas, is just, it's so fitting because he loves his crowd. You know, he came out of, there's several pictures of him when he came out of the dressage arena at Babington this spring. And, you know, he's just looking at them. He loves seeing the people. And if, you know, the sums are not, they're quite straightforward. If 5,000 people could spare £100, then he would never go anywhere else ever again in his life. He'd stay here. And I think to make him the people's horse would be amazing.
Now, for those that don't have their calculators out, you basically need £500,000 to make this happen, which, by the way, you know, 30 years ago, that would be the most expensive event or sold. But today, it's just common. And you've done pretty well so far. I mean, you're over 100,000 from what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, we're on, I think we're on nearly £105,000. People have been absolutely amazing. And to be honest, as much as the money, it's the comments and the kindness that has meant so much. People have gone out of their way to support us. We had Carl Hester tweeting about it today. A British comedian that you might, I don't know whether he's big in the States or not, but a guy called Rory Bremner was tweeting about us today as well. We've had so much backup. Like you say, we've got a long way to go and to get.
Has she given you a time frame?
Well, unfortunately, there's kind of a natural time frame in that. He and I have been selected for the European Championships, which will be held in Poland on sort of roughly the 16th of August. Unfortunately, if we can't raise the money, that's kind of the cutoff date. Mm. Yeah,
and
quite.
I saw somewhere that you mentioned you'd been talking to a private investor. Is that still in the works or not?
It is. It's not for enough to solve the solution. But it would make a difference. It would get us closer. We're talking to that lady at the moment. And to be honest, I mean, it is an amazing thing. And if we could have the horse owned by the people, it would just, I just think it would be amazing to be able to bring the horse, you know, like to try on next year to the Worlds, and for him to have his own little group of fans there and stuff. It would just be fantastic. The same as if he runs here in the UK and people who've donated can be involved. And, you know, previously, I guess you'd say that owning an event horse was for the wealthy, really. And now, you know, we're trying to make it sort of accessible to everybody.
You're going to have to chop that.
You said, I know. You said
that
it would
gold medal up into tiny little pieces when you win it. You know,
I'll do it.
You said there'd be a little group. I mean, I think from what I've seen, there's already an enormous group, and people are laying claim to, hairs in his tail and pieces of his forelock.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's so touching the way people do feel already some ownership of him, and are really getting on board with this.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, you know, when Carl Hester actually rang me and talked to me about it, because obviously,
he's been through this.
Yeah, he went through hell with, Utopia and, you know, the possibility of having Utopia taken away. You know, Carl said, really, what you need is you either need sort of commercial backing now, or you need a kind of a fairy godmother. To come along with a big chunk of money, which essentially is what happened with him. But you know, I keep going on about it, but making him the people's horse would be really special.
And what would that mean? So we could, you know, you said you might get t-shirts and then we could just watch him and we would just feel this sort of a little bit more of an ownership.
Well, we're just about to, I think traditionally crowdfunding generally works on a kind of reward-based system, and we hadn't done that in the first instance. To be honest, I was slightly, I've tried to do it, we've tried to do it ourselves. We've had a lot of backing and a lot of help, but we've done it through our own website as opposed to a crowdfunding website, because they take 8%. Off your total, that's what they take, and you know, 8% is a lot of money.
£500,000, yeah, it adds up.
Yeah, and also a lot of the crowdfunding sites, if you don't complete the fundraising, then you're not allowed. You don't have the money. Now we've got several stipulations we've put on our crowdfund, but if we don't complete the crowdfund. And then we could still find somebody to make up some of the shortfall, maybe a private investor or a sponsor or someone. Then we don't want to lose that opportunity.
Right. Yeah, this is a little different situation. It really is.
Yeah. And then the big thing that we want to stipulate is if this doesn't work and we don't raise enough money, the money comes back to people. So everybody gets their money back.
Where can they go? Well, tell us where they can do it.
It's our website is www.jontyandart.com. Jonty spelt with a Y. And you can visit the site and read the story, see some pictures. I know I'm biased, but he's very good looking. and it's, you can donate from the page.
It's the most exciting thing. Truth in the packaging, I did donate already and I was surprised to get an email thanking me, because I thought that I would be one of so many that you wouldn't have time
I was absolutely insistent that it doesn't matter if people gave 20 pence, they've got to get a thank you.
That's fantastic. This is what you're investing in, people. This is a kind of high class quality person and partnership that you're investing in, and it's exciting, and I feel already hugely invested in it and excited, and I want to
we are going to try and do a reward system of sorts. We have got some t-shirts designed, we have got some photographs and little things like that. It's all fairly small things. We have got some bigger things as well, but we're going to try and get that running on the website, and that will include people who've already donated. So
I mean, it's reward enough, I think, to feel involved. And I think if, you know, God willing, you get to WEG next year or through Europeans in a few weeks, and that I'll feel that, you know, I've done my bit, and I'll be watching on the screen and willing you on and feeling like, you know, that's part of my horse.
And I hope that it's very easy for riders to say, oh, I've got a super horse and whatever, but I hope people will realize that this horse is, he's admired all around the world.
Well, we'll put a link to the Equirating stats, because they said he's one of the top 12 horses in the last century, I think, or something.
Yeah, a decade. Okay. But there was some funny, it was quite tough criteria to get into that group, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that, I think that group included Mickey Young's horse and Ingrid's horse, and or several of Mickey Young's horses.
Entire stable.
All of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I'm not biased, apart from just, you know, loving you both. I live in America. I'm British, but here's an Irish couple that you can get behind, and you can own a part of it. So, I strongly encourage everyone to donate if you haven't, and if you have, donate again. And,
I just did while we were talking. It was that easy. I just did for the Horse Radio Network while we were talking. It was that easy to do. So,
oh, thank you very much. It is very kind of you, and I'm really grateful to everybody for their support. And you know, we'll do, if we can keep him, we'll do everything we can to make it worth everybody's while.
Well, we're going to have you back on as you prepare for the World Equestrian Games with him, okay?
Thank you, Glenn. Thank you.
No problem. We have confidence.
Thank you for talking to me.
There you go. If you want to, I'll post a link to his page so that you guys, if you're interested in helping out with his quest to keep the horse, boy, with horse prices now the way they are, it's tough for the professional riders that ride these horses for years that the owner decides to sell. You just can't afford to buy them. I mean, it's just crazy.
No.
I mean, we're talking half a million pounds there. I mean, it's for an event horse. Again, 20 years ago, you would have never seen that.
No. Well, and you know, the money is huge, but he's obviously got so much heart for this horse. And, you know, I was a professional trainer for many years, and it's just heartbreaking when, you know, a horse you've really connected with is pulled out of your barn for financial reasons or whatever, you know, other reason the owner decide. I mean, you just lost your best friend, and they certainly have a fabulous connection. And I was thinking, you know, if every listener just contributed $10 or $20, I mean, he'd have his horse, and everybody'd be able to be a part of it. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, this is kind of becoming the people's horse. It's really taken off. Even the mainstream press in Britain has gotten on it, and Ireland. It really kind of is a cool story. And I want to thank John Kyle, who is the announcer. Everybody here is on FEI TV all the time, and on some of the major networks. He contacted me and said, "You got to get Jaunty on." So appreciate John for that reference. You'll also hear that on the WEG show, which will be coming out. One quick thing, and then Jennifer's going to tell her story. She just if you're listening right now and you can, head to Facebook to the Horses in the Morning page. She just posted a series of pictures, and this is what she's going to talk about. And I think that the pictures will help you understand what she's going to say. But I did want to say that the WEG show is going to be coming out a little early. We're usually not out until the 30th, but it's coming out this weekend because we had the opportunity to speak to the COO of Trion, and she is basically the second in charge and also on the WEG steering committee, knows everything that's going on because she is in charge of that facility. And she answered questions on tickets. She gave us an update. She had been with us 3 months ago, but now we have an update on tickets, parking, housing, the way the events are going to be run, the construction that's going on, the hotels. We got updates on everything. So that's coming out. We want you to hear that right away. That'll be coming out this weekend. I know a lot of you are planning on coming. Do not miss the 2018 WEG show this weekend episode because you'll get the latest, and she was very candid about everything. So you'll get the latest updates on everything.
Cool.
All right, let's head over to Jennifer. Now, tell us, what is the problem with Nigel's feet, and why did we spend all that money yesterday? I have to represent the horse husbands, I'm just saying.
Yes.
And I got to give a shout out to Glenn, because when I wasn't going to volunteer the information, he finally asked how much the check was. He did not swear, cuss, scream, faint. He smiled, and he kept moving, and I think he went in the closet and screamed. So there we go. Thank you, Glenn.
But that's very impressive.
Yes.
Yes.
Because he's had many years of horse husband
experience.
Showing
growth.
Yes.
If you'd done that to a brand new horse husband, it'd have been a divorce time.
Yes.
So I kind of did a little timeline, because the first thing you have to do to experience the glue-on horseshoe experience is buy a horse with horrible hooves.
And you've done that.
I've done that.
See the picture. Yeah.
He is the poster child for bad hooves of the thoroughbred variety.
Yes.
He has inherent flares in his feet. They're genetic.
Yes.
He's got thin soles, flat soles, prolapsed frog, and underrun heels.
So you've like covered every single possible base there can be with bad feet.
Yes.
He's got them all.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when the veterinarian took the x-rays of his pictures, he goes, "Wow, this horse is sound." He is sound, but the advent of fox hunting season requires that we give him some foot protection, which is why we've gone down this road.
Right.
So we start with a horse with bad hooves. You get x-rays of his hooves. You have them evaluated by at least three different equine health professionals, each of whom require a check.
Of course.
And upon the recommendation of said professionals, you set an appointment with a glue-on horseshoe specialist.
Okay, so why did you choose that route? Just curious.
The hoof wall, particularly in the quarters, is so paper thin.
Got it. Got it.
Paper thin.
Got it.
Yeah. So that they said, he's not going to hold nails. And I have found out through experience that he is prone to ripping things off of his feet.
Oh, yeah. We have one of those.
We have one of those too. So that's why we decided to go that route. So you set that appointment. And upon the arrival of the said specialists, plural in this case, we poke and we prod and we flex and we walk and we turn and we poke and we prod. And then we lay out a truckload of mad scientist stuff called the chewing kit. And you'll see on the photo album in the Facebook page, the mad scientist pile of stuff.
Yes.
And at last, we decided to go ahead and trim the giant pie plate hooves. And then we walk and flex and poke again. At this point, once horse hooves have been trimmed, horses no longer sound.
Oh, gee.
this is normal for said horse, though. Yeah. If his feet are trimmed, he's not sound. He needs something on there. So we do that. So I put a picture, and in the picture that I posted, he's got one trimmed hoof and one not. And they look kind of pretty when they're trimmed.
They do.
They do look kind of pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So following the trim, we fit the shoe. And we lament the giant pie plate size of the hoof because the people who make glue-on shoes aren't used to shoeing draft horse-sized hooves. And his hooves really are the size of a small draft horse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So we spend a good 45 minutes tweaking the fit of the shoe so that we'll fit the giant pie plate newly trimmed hoof. Mm-hmm. And after that, at last, we apply a layer of medicated hoof clay. And then after that, we apply a layer of impression material. It's like Play-Doh. It's like insoles.
I'm hoping everybody's can look at the Facebook page because this is really kind of a fascinating process. And I'm kind of going through the photos as you are explaining.
It works like an insole in your shoe. When you go to Dr. Scholl's and you stand on the little thing, they tell you what number to buy. It's soft and rubbery. It doesn't really have any gluey, sticky properties, but it helps add a little bit of thickness to the thin sole. When the specialist number two put her hoof testers on his feet, literally, she hadn't really said anything about the foot because she was just testing things out. The first things out of her mouth was, "Ooh, that's soft."
Never what you want to hear that.
Oh, nope. That's soft.
Yeah.
And it's not like we've had wet weather. His feet are bone dry. So whatever. There we are. So we've got the Play-Doh stuff in there, which is pink. He's all colorful.
Yeah.
And you put that on and then you set his foot down. And all this time, his feet have to be wrapped inside of a plastic bag so they don't get dirty. Everything has to be hospital clean. All right. So we've done that. And now it's time to take the big jump into the shoe itself. So specialist number two mixes up smelly epoxy glue with medicated stuff to discourage fungal growth because fresh making its way in there. And you can just see the dollar signs clinking. It's like inside my head, I was hearing that clinking sound you hear in casinos.
Yeah.
I like that mix. Pour that one out. Here, add some more. Make a new mix.
I was thinking taxi driver who drives around in large circles as you see the dollar signs add up.
So we get that on and you take the glue and you put the glue on the shoe and then the shoe goes on the foot. And this particular in different shoe companies and different epoxies work differently. This particular one, you put it on kind of like peanut butter. It's pretty thick and mushy, like green icing so that when it goes onto the foot, it squishes out. It's designed to be done that way. So you do that and you squish it on there all the while grumbling, not quite under your breath about the giant pie plate sized hoof.
Yes.
Yeah. And once you have done that and you've got the horseshoe seated just perfectly, you take this clever little gadget that farriers carry around in their trucks now. And you have, it's like 6-inch wide, super duper cling wrap. And you put that around the foot for about a quarter of a mile. So that it holds the shoe in place and keeps the glue squished against the foot. And then you set the foot down. And
the horse has to stand there and not move for a certain period of time, I'm assuming. Yeah.
And then farriers number one and farrier number two both say, okay, let's not let him move for 5 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Sure. And, you know, Nigel, who's normally pretty quiet. Yeah. You can imagine.
Yeah.
So after 5-10 minutes thereabouts, farrier picks up the foot again and takes off the quarter mile of cling wrap and tests everything to make sure it's just so. And when it's completely cured, it cures by a chemical process, not by air drying like Elmer's.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
So it goes very quickly. It heats up. So it dries rather quickly. After about 15 minutes, it's dry.
Yeah.
So then you poke and prod a little bit more, walk back and forth a few more times. And then you take this really crazy looking drill machine and you file off the excess glue, which unfortunately ended up the last picture in the set. It didn't go in order, but it's this little drill.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. When we got started, the farrier was introducing Nigel to all of her tools because they're weird looking and they smell funny and they make noises. Yes. So she wanted to make sure he was okay with everything. And when she showed him the drill, farrier number one, who was very familiar with Nigel because she's who usually trims him.
Right.
She's, oh yeah, you should show him that. You should probably try to turn it on before we start. So she shows it to him and he goes, oh, look, a drill. That's interesting. And she turned it on and he stuck his nose, the end of his lips on the drill.
Oh, no.
Drum, and she sanded his lips. He loved it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. got his lips sanded. He thought it was pretty special.
Well, good for him.
So there you go. You file all the excess glue off. So all that's left is around the edges on those little cuffs.
Yeah.
And then as a last final thing, they take plain old boring super glue and you put it all over the hoof surface down at the bottom where you would, kind of like where you would put the hoof hardeners products with the super glue to help seal things up and seal out moisture. And then you put the foot down and then you write a really big check.
And so here's my question. How long are these supposed to stay on before you have to write another really
big check? That was my first question.
Yes, that was it. The modern glue on horseshoes are really designed to last a shoeing cycle, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Now, in the particular case of the brand he's wearing, the shoe cannot be reused. Once you pull it off, it's pretty much
not
shredded. There are some that you can pull off and reuse.
But not these.
But not these.
But not these.
No.
Of course not. My second question is what's the percentage rate of these kinds of shoes falling off versus a traditional nailed-on shoe? Do we know?
Well, being pulled off or falling off?
Falling off. Or being pulled off, which, you know.
You know, they reach up and they grab the heel and they rip it off. Actually, I would say that it's probably going to be a little bit lower because when they put these shoes on, they can use, there are all these different levels of epoxies and glues and packing materials. The science behind this is crazy.
Oh, but yeah.
That little niche that they take their hind toe and they stuff it into that little niche between their heel and the heel of the shoe in order to grab it, they can fill that in with a material so that it's smooth so the horse can't get his toe in there.
Right.
So I'm guessing it might be a little bit lower.
That would be nice. I'm hoping that it's a little bit lower. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a thoroughbred therapy horse, and he has really long legs and a really short back, and he's got, you know, the bell boots on and the shoes on the front, and normally he's a pretty good footed horse, but he just needs a little extra protection in front. But he invariably reaches forward, he pulls that shoe off, and then it always happens in the middle of the night, and then the shoe fairies come in the middle of the night and scour the pasture and grab that shoe, and it's never ever found. So this might, you know, if they stay on longer.
I'm just starting to get the heebie jeebies right now. So you're all making me really nervous. about this.
Well, tell them what happened to me.
We'll
after
stop this line of questioning at this point.
Tell everybody what happened to me after I wrote the check overnight.
Oh, Jennifer had nightmares that the shoes came off. She was having nightmares all night long.
Really?
Yes.
All night long.
Yeah. Oh no, they'll stay out. It'll be fabulous. It'll
thank
be fabulous.
You, thank you, thank you for support. Yeah. Appreciate that.
No, it'll be great. I hope everybody goes to the Facebook page.
Yeah,
and
definitely
and
check out
process.
The pictures. Yep.
Yeah, because it's pretty cool.
All right, we gotta move on. Let's just hope the shoes stay on. Let's hope everything is on. that's what I hope. You notice how quiet and calm I've been this whole time.
You've been good, Glenn. Yeah, you've been very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, you deserve an extra cup of coffee or
all
something.
All right. Right after this word from Ovation, we're going to be talking some really bad ads.
Yeah. Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is that time of the week when we do some really bad ads. These ads are submitted by our listeners. They usually find them on Craigslist or a lot of now on Facebook. And what we do is we take all the names of everybody submitted, even if you're not read on the show. We get more than we can read. So, but you're all put in a pot. And at the end of the month, we pull out a couple of names and they win some prizes. You get double the entries if you record your own. And we have a lot of those today. So, Jennifer, what are our prizes this month?
This month, we've got two prizes. Woohoo! First one, a $50 gift card from Kelly Hurd Jewelry. Kelly Hurd Jewelry is the place to go for fine yellow gold, white gold, sterling silver, and platinum equestrian jewelry. Beautifully crafted settings with gemstones, diamonds, or pearls are available to satisfy your need for sparkle, each one being finely crafted with meticulous attention to detail. Choose from Kelly Hurd's wide selection of finished pieces, or you can design your own and know that you're getting the best. Kelly Hurd Jewelry can be found at fine equestrian retailers all over the country and online at kellyhurdjewelry.com. And our second prize this month is, drumroll please, a box of crap from Glenn's Closet.
Yay! Everybody's favorite.
Yes.
All right, let's get started here. And we are starting with everybody's favorite, one of the most popular submitters we get, and that is Scott.
Hey, this is Scott. And today's ad comes from Craigslist in Western Hanover, outside of Richmond. It says, two horses, mares, and to good, loving, forever home, $350. Due to my health, I need to find a loving forever home for my two mares. Cheyenne is 23 years old. She is APHA, paint horse, registered. She is halter broke and leads well. Cheyenne has had two foals and she didn't need any assistance either time. Her first foal, Sue, S-I-O-U-X, was not broke when I sold her for $500 and she went on to be a competition horse. Choctaw, Cheyenne's second foal, is 8 year old, brown with black mane and tail. Even though neither have been broke slash trained, they are both beautiful, healthy horses, and Choctaw, although spirited, is worth $500. With training, I have been told she would do well as a barrel pony. I did get a halter on her last year, but she managed to get it off. I don't know their height, as I have never tried to measure them. I do worm them on a regular basis, but don't bother with vaccines, as they aren't around other horses. I was told by a vet that for the horse's safety, I shouldn't leave their halters on, so I removed them years ago. Choctaw's sire is Smokey. He is here, too. He's Tennessee Walker / Palomino and a very handsome black stallion. I rescued him when he was 2 years old, and he, within a month, blossomed into a beautiful stallion. Smokey, my stallion, is 27, and he hasn't been ridden in a while, but have had a halter on him not too long ago. He is still quite spirited at 27. Cheyenne and Smokey are the parents of Choctaw. I'm looking for someone who knows horses and will give them a loving forever home. If you are interested in meeting them, let me know. If after that you would like to give them a good home, I will need to see where they would be living. If that goes well, you can pick them up. For a while, I would like to be able to visit them to make sure they are doing okay. I will not come empty-handed when I visit. I will bring a few bags of feed with me. $350 each, or $500 if you take both.
Jamie is having a coronary if she's listening to this right.
Where do you start with that? Oh, my goodness.
I don't know.
Wow.
Well, you start with what Jamie would have said immediately after, geld that sh-. That's what yes. Yeah, that's first the place you start.
Well, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I'm wondering about the 8-year-old and the 23-year-old who apparently are just sort of not even really halter broke.
They're feral. That's what
yeah,
they are.
Exactly. <That's what they> Exactly. So how are you even going to like get them in a trailer and get them somewhere else? That's my question.
He took that literally when the vet told him not to leave the halters on. He thought that meant never put a halter on.
Ever.
Never, ever put a halter on.
Put a
halter. The horses are, or the halters off forever. Oh, my God. Good one, Scott. Wow. Well read.
Yes. Kudos to Scott. He always finds the good ones, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. I don't know. He must look over the world to come up with the good ones. I don't know.
Yeah.
He does live in where? Virginia or someplace. So who knows? Yeah, maybe that's just representing.
I wonder how long it takes him to find these.
No. Lindsay sent the next one in, and she read it herself, too.
This is Lindsay from Indiana with what looks to be a cute little POA halter for sale. Daughter doesn't want to come home and I refuse to keep. Wonderful Appy, 800 or best offer.
Well, short and sweet. Daughter refuses to come home. Well, there you go.
Wow.
My guess in that case is the Appy wants out too.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's just get out of here.
Not staying.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
All right.
Wow. And people actually think somebody's going to be interested in their horse.
Yes, they do.
That's what blows me away.
They do. Yeah. And you know what? Somebody does. And that's the crazy part.
That's the scary part.
Exactly.
Oh, my. Oh, so the next one is from Brenna. The title is from AR Horse Sale FB. So maybe that's Arkansas Horse Sale Facebook, maybe.
Yep.
Rockin' a Frosted Glass. And, so they've got these horse names that sometimes they do the funny spellings for the registration. So I don't know if this person just can't type or if that's, they convoluted the name to meet the letter space requirements. So Rockin, R-O-C-K-N, a Frosted Glass. Raise Your Glass and Sunfrost Bread. Raise is R-A-I-S. 2014 Appendix 1P, Appendix, Buckskin Stallion. currently stands at 16 hands. Fancy broke, $5,000.
Now, is fancy broke an actual technical term?
Well, see, I trained horses professionally for decades, and I never heard of the fancy broke discipline.
Well, you know what? So, if you did, you could get more money. They want $5,000 for this fancy broke stallion.
I know.
And he's only three, and he's fancy broke. So there.
I know. That's pretty impressive.
I know.
Or maybe his fancy is broke and he's not fancy anymore.
Well, that's probably it.
Oh, that could be.
Probably that's it. Yeah.
Somebody's going to write to me and say, fancy broke is this. I'm shocked you didn't know that. I'm going to get that email.
Yeah.
I always do.
I think we all kind of get the feel that what fancy broke is, but
if you have that email, send it to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com and she'll be sure to forward
I'll
it
right
on to
that.
Me sometime in the next 10 years. All right. So, Mo sent in the following one.
Hi, this is Mo Meyer with a really bad ad off of Facebook, because where else would you find them? says, quarter horse mare that just turned 7 years old had her teeth flowed in May. Current Coggins Green Book, not spooky around traffic. Feet just done 15.3 hands, lows attention, stands tied sometimes, depending on her mood. Does buck sometimes if she doesn't want to be ridden, loads and unloads bades, loves attention and to be loved on, period. Just warmed last week, needs a job. I'm selling her as gray because I don't have her papers and couldn't get them. I do know who her dam and grandsire is. Also, I will be picky as to who I sell her to, and you must provide vet farrier and barn representative boarding at a stable, so PM for pictures and more information, period. Then try and lowball me. This horse is worth what I'm asking for, even without her papers. Make offer. She was a great horse. Located in Plant City, Florida. Also home of Florida strawberries.
Okay, she's a fast reader. I almost couldn't keep up with that.
Well, wow. I'm impressed. I'm impressed at her reading skills. That's pretty amazing.
Yes, she's a fast reader. I'd have to listen to it again to know anything about the horse, though. I kind of lost it in the middle there.
Home of Florida strawberries.
Yep,
exactly.
That's what I got, actually.
Exactly. All right.
Thank you, Mo. Rachel sent the following one in. This is a Facebook ad, and we're starting to feature these now, too, because you're not allowed to sell horses anymore. They're
exactly.
All getting clever, so this is one of the clever ones. From Texas Sport Horse Market Facebook. ISO, a owner-trainer with lots of patience and love to share. I am Dylan, and I am searching for a home where I will be ridden and appreciated as a sensitive soul I am. I walk, trot, canter, cross water, safely tie, stand for farrier, vet, grooming, love that stuff. Chickens, dogs, goats, and rabbits don't bother me. I don't bite, kick, buck, or rear. I can live alone with a goat.
He sounds sweet.
Now, if you changed that up and read it as a personal ad, it would sound like this. Is seeking an owner trainer with lots of patience and love to share. I'm Dylan. I'm searching for a home where I will be ridden and appreciated as the sensitive.
No, stop, Glenn. Stop. No. That's too creepy.
I was just getting to the good part.
Good thing. It's creepy.
Jeez, guys. Don't let me do any of the fun stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. This one was from Amanda from the Michigan Horse Tack Swap Facebook ad. Painted pony. Peanut is a good pony. Brown and white. I just got him a couple months back. He been wormed 2 times and his hooves done 4 times. Needs new home ASAP. He is short.
He's short. So all we get to know is he's been wormed and he's short.
So here's my question, though. He's had him just a couple of months, and he's already had his feet done like 4 times. So that's like, what, every like 3 weeks?
Yes, exactly. Done?
Maybe he's wearing glue-ons and they keep falling off.
Terrible feet. All right, trailer of the week came in from Emily. This is Akio.
This is awesome.
Is that Alaska or Arkansas? I can never remember.
Alaska.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is from Alaska. I'm going to read it. Two horse trailer was a project for my daughter and my husband. Wood for the floor is in the trailer and rubber mats are in the trailer too. Needs some work, but it pulls easily. $400 or best offer in the North Pole, by the way. the floor is in the trailer, but it's not installed. It's just
kind of standing up there.
The mats are in there, but they're not installed. And obviously, the daughter decided on the color to paint the trailer.
Well, it's bright purple, but Glenn, if you look on the left side, there's not even a side panel there.
No.
Well, I guess on the right side either, there's no side panel.
It's air conditioned because you need that in Alaska.
Yeah. In Alaska.
It has a roof, though. It does have a roof.
It does.
But it is painted this very purple purple. Very
We're
purple.
We're talking the great great ape purple.
You would not be missed going down the road.
No. No. And obviously, the project did not go well for the daughter and the husband. Because they never finished it. They were about ready to kill each other is what that amounted to.
I am sure. Yes.
This is
wondering if you know, like this little peanut pony, this little short pony, he'd just like fall out of there.
He would, actually, because there's really no side on the trailer. There's a gate in the back, but no side.
There is. No. Nothing on the side.
The one thing I does have going for it is it does have tires that appear to have air. So
it does,
that.
And it's got 2 axles.
Yes.
You know, and a little window in front.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, you might like purple. It's perfect.
Yeah, peeling purple because it looks like it's peeling. the paint's peeling.
And the next one up, and Jennifer, I think I missed this one. We might have to save it for next week because I don't have it on my list as Marlene's. I didn't see it come through.
Oh, no!
Is she in,
oh, no!
Is she in Dropbox? Because I didn't see it come through by
let me look
email.
Here.
So we can save it for next
week.
Oh,
we'll have to save it for next week. It was funny,
Marlene.
Too.
All right, well, we need a funny one next week. All right, Marlene, we'll definitely put you in. So you have the next one.
I do. This is from Kimberly. Bandit is a little over 3 years old. He has been with other horses and donkeys. He has not been ridden, but has had a saddle on his back and has also had 100 pounds of feed in the saddle. He has been checked by a vet and given a clean bill of health.
So it's feed saddle broke.
Right, feed saddle broke. Yes, absolutely.
That's the only thing brave enough to ride it is the feed sack.
And it sounds like he's well socialized because he's been with other horses and donkeys.
Yes, that's true.
But it doesn't say what Bandit is. Is he a horse or is he a donkey? And is he a pony or is
really
he a drop horse?
Anything.
We don't.
It's clean bill health, though.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Stephanie sent the following one in.
Good morning, guys. This is Stephanie from New York. This ad comes from Howard Beach in Queens. Horse head and moose antlers hybrid, $100. Authentic skull of horse and two well-preserved antler hybrid. Great for a Texan or cowboy vibe. Vintage, real. They actually took moose antlers and stuck them to the skull of a horse. Why? Why?
I love her voice, by the way. She sent the picture along, and let me tell you, that's exactly what they did. They took the skull of a horse and they stuck antlers on the top. It's
you just
bizarre.
Have to wonder about people sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre. It's kind of disturbing, actually. Anyway, let's hope Gemma can finish it out on a lighter note than the antler horse thing. Here we go. Maybe. Oh, no, I can't get Gemma to... Oh, here she goes.
Hello, I'm Gemma Kunt. And on today's Really Bad Ads, we have the pleasure of hearing the poetic musings of one horse seller. Presenting Baby Boy Miniature Horse. Red and white, teeny tiny, adorable. $900, OBO. Contact...
Oh, wow. Wow. She definitely gets the creative ad reader of the day. That's amazing.
Teeny tiny.
Okay, wait a minute.
Red and white.
I got to hear that again. Hold on. I got to do that. And I love the music, too.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Gemma Kunt. And on today's Really Bad Ads, we have the pleasure of hearing the poetic musings of one horse seller. Presenting Baby Boy Miniature Horse. Red and white, teeny tiny, adorable. $900, OBO. Contact Kevin.
I think we have the first entry in America's Got or Equestrian's Got Talent. What do you think?
I think so.
Right there.
I think so. Right there. That's it.
You know,
dramatic reading.
There you don't have to have super singing talent. You just have to be clever like Gemma.
Oh my God. That's a circle.
Good job, Gemma. That was
perfect. Why?
Why? That was perfect. Oh, that has to go on the list of one of the best ones ever right there.
Absolutely.
And she has that little squeaky voice, and it's so much fun to listen to.
You know, Horse Radio Network needs to put together a collection of all of these and then sell it like as a DVD, because I would like to listen to all those as I'm driving down the road.
We really should, because,
that would be cool.
We could fill about 20 DVDs full.
Exactly. You'd have this never-ending list. But then I might be laughing so hard I'd like drive in the ditch, and that wouldn't be good.
And we've gotten so many submissions from people now that we could just do them from other people.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just get everybody, just play the sound clips on the DVD or on the CD. That would be awesome.
Well, great show. Thank you, Lisa, so much for filling in. Jamie should be back on Monday, providing she comes back from Hawaii.
Yes.
And yes, but we really do appreciate you, and thank you so much. Where can people find all of your information in your books and stuff?
Yep, LisaWysocki.com, Facebook.com/LisaWysocki, and Kat Enright, my protagonist in the books, can be found at Kat Enright Mystery Horsewoman on Facebook.
Very good. Well, thank you.
Got a follower. She's fun.
Yes, she is fun.
It's fun.
Yep. Yeah. Has she talked about us yet?
Maybe.
You know,
maybe soon.
She has an open invitation to come on the show, by the way.
I know she does. She's just been really busy.
Okay.
She's microphone shy.
Is she?
Come on. Season. Yeah. Kat doesn't like the limelight. She really doesn't.
No. You know,
I have a feeling I'm never going to interview Kat is the way it's coming down. So thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you to Denise, who books all of our guests, for all the good job she did this week. Don't forget to take a look at all the shows coming out right now or already been out for this week at horseradionetwork.com. There's a bunch of them. And we'll talk to you all on Monday.
Happy weekend, everyone.
Take care, everybody.